Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, Carla.
Nice tan, Rob.
Thank you. Chocolatey brown, as always.
Welcome back.
Beautiful. Loved your state.
Right? Are you busting his balls by saying nice tan?
He doesn't look tan, does he?
He has a little he has a white boy tan.
Oh, okay.
Well, that turned bad awfully fast, didn't it?
Nomadland won Best Picture. I thought it was a very, very good movie, and I'm not disappointed by that choice.
Felt like it was all over the place.
As far as the movie?
There's Nomads. Is that a bad joke, or did I just miss something?
That's a good joke. Now that you mentioned it's a joke, I was kind of wondering.
Yeah, we don't usually expect funny stuff from you, so it
kind of wandered.
Fair enough.
I'm going to dump the ashes in the box. It'll be easier to put them in the ocean from the box than the bag. I said, that's a good plan. So he very delicately puts them in the box. And I say, they're awfully light. They were almost sand colored. He says, that's it. If they ask us, we'll tell them it's sand. And I said, and what? We're making square sandcastles down by the ocean?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Nah, it doesn't work. Carla was right. Anyway, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Back after a refreshing week of vacation. Staycations for Oscar and me. Oscar took a little trip, though, so that's technically not. Oh, I was the staycationer. My life changed very little. Took my kid to school, hung around the house, didn't really do anything of any value, really vegetated.
Did you miss the show?
I was glad to get a break. It was nice to have a break. I actually, I love doing this, and it's not, I've never considered this work. So, I probably did a little
bit.
This
is the first vacation I missed the show.
I would have hated if we were off this week, because we couldn't come in and bitch about what we always bitch about, the Oscars, as the decline and fall of award shows continues. But just to make note for those of you that, and there are always, why is there always one or two people online who say, would have been nice if they told us why are, oh, was there a guy that was fake trolling doing that? I think there might have been a guy fake trolling.
Likely. I can't really tell anymore, but I like to address, I was heavy on the message boards this break.
I know you were. I saw a lot of you out there. I went pretty much radio silent on Threads. I posted a few things, posted about the verdict, the Chauvin verdict, when we had that. And I think one other post the whole time I was there. Rob put a few pictures up of Florida. I'm glad you took my advice and
got
out into the Glades.
The one tourist thing we did, and it was so cool. We had two choices. It was either the Gatorama with a gift shop and you can touch an alligator and just pull up and wait in lines on the big concrete slab, or what we chose was River of Grass Everglades Tours, where they said, just turn left at the cell turn right at the cell tower and go to the second dirt boat ramp. That was the directions to get there. And it was,
and you went into the glades, the raw glade, not a preserve, right?
No, it was the raw glades. It was the most amazing thing I'd seen.
I'll take notes, because I'd love to do that. What Rob's talking about, when you come down to the Everglades, and Rob's in Miami, about 2 hours away from me, just to, we just couldn't make it on time. Rob was doing his vacation. I'm living down here. He didn't want to bother me.
I asked the jet boat guy if it was really too far to get to Estero via the fan boat, and he said it was
an airboat.
Yeah, he said it was out
coming
of
down
the way.
The street. So, just to get in, we'll get to your vacation in a second, but I've got that.
Hear me coming.
In.
Good.
But here's the thing about it: what Rob's talking about is there are two types of airboats. One is they buy a plot of land. They own some land there, and then they do a square and go out and make it seem like, and it's really
like a
go-kart
track.
It's really kind of a fake thing. The other one is you really go out into the glades. And I was noticing you seem to be way out there and really enjoying it. And
it was a 2 hour trip. I mean, he went all over the place. And one of the cool, there was a lot of cool things. Here's things I didn't realize. It is the world's widest river. It is the world's slowest moving river. It is also fresh water.
Now, what is the river we're talking about here?
The Everglades. It's technically
it's
a river.
River.
Technically a river. And I also expected it to be brackish water and to be smelly and full of bugs. And it was no smell. The water is fresh.
Because you think it's swamp.
Yeah, it's not. However, I did get nailed in the chest and a face by a few dragonflies on the road. While the boat was moving.
Well, big target.
Yeah, a lot of surface
area. Well, I tell you what, on the face, I did check for blood. I was safe, perfectly safe.
The face!
So Rob came down to Miami to see his dad.
We were settling really settling up the affairs for my Uncle Bruce, who a lot of people got to meet on our trips to Vegas, and he passed away a month and a half ago. And it was,
and let's be honest, he's squatting now.
Yeah, of course.
Isn't he squatting in your uncle's apartment?
And pretending to be Bruce so the Homeowners Association doesn't know. So,
maybe really.
There's some things that need to be transacted if someone passes.
There was, there's the whole matter of getting all the death certificates and stuff.
I want a whole segment dedicated to you.
All right.
I want to find out about what's going on.
All right.
There.
Very cool.
I mean, he passed. God rest his soul. Your uncle, who I had the pleasure of meeting as well, and then your father became a Florida resident within the same week.
To be fair, he's my age, Mike.
I mean, he's older than me, you know, that's it.
To be fair, he was down there before Bruce passed.
The talented Mr. Spiewak in real life.
That's what it is. Exactly.
We'll get to that because I go, I'm just trying to figure out my focus is.
No, you're good.
Yeah, you look good.
Oscar, you went on a romantic trip.
There's nothing like the Chesapeake Bay in the middle of April.
Yeah. Now that does not smell fresh.
I did absolutely nothing at all. And we come to you this morning, of course, with another award show that I can't even describe how much the land of suck has become with award shows. And really, I think ultimately the Golden Globes have shown up because the Oscars were so bad and have been so bad for so long, and then you hear this hype that they're going to be getting people back together again. They're going to do it their own way.
Reinventing it, Mike. They're reinventing the event.
Theatrical. What a pile of horse
like a dinner
dung.
It looked like it was hosted in a house in Raspberry Falls.
It was terrible.
One of the big round table houses, yeah.
I will start with the minutiae, and then we can work our way back out. First of all, my total time commitment, I probably logged 45 minutes of content before I just said enough, where they went 45 minutes without a real award, which was an actress award.
Right.
I was like, are you kidding me? Are we going to see animated short, foreign short, this short?
Sound design?
Sound design, cinematography, blah, 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 self-congratulatory. It's just no one cares in America, but it's on national TV.
So
let's start with the minutiae.
Okay.
All right? So they do it in like a bomb shelter, right? Isn't that where they did it? In some kind of bomb? Was it a train station?
I think it was literally a train station. Yeah, it was
Union
literally
station.
A train station.
So that... Okay, that's fine. Right. They did it in a train station.
And Mike, what did you think? Did you watch the open? Regina King walked on, and they showed credits like it was a movie or a television show. And instead of something glitzy and brassy and what I would associate with show business, they played this rock music, I guess. This is hip Oscar music, Mike. And it was just her walking through the lobby so she could get on the stage and trip.
Yeah, well, that's entrance all right, so, music. Don't all right, be that.
Let me just say, when I start with the minutiae, what absolutely monumental moron decided it was a good idea to put a 5-inch lip edge of a stage that was going to be tripping people from the very beginning? It was a stage,
yes,
with a lip on it, which was stupidity.
Like it was the stage equivalent of a dribble cup. It was almost like
it was a multi-tiered stage.
Yes,
a multi-tiered stage, yeah. But at the top tier was a 5-inch. Now, could you go around it where there were stairs? Yes. But nervous people that have just won an award don't necessarily think about that. Yep. I couldn't. First of all, that's the real minutia where I'm like, right? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but
are
they going to trip again? I love that you care about stage design. This is you're pulling on my heartstrings right now. Yeah.
But come on, use your noggin when you do it. It didn't look all that good.
No,
as far as I was concerned, it looked, the people in the audience looked as though they were waiting to be executed.
Yep.
There was so little smiling. There was so little reaction. By the way, congratulations to Frances McDormand. I don't know which Coen brother she's married to, but if you could look any more disinterested and bored in your wife winning Best Actress, you moron, I couldn't believe. There were so many things I hated about this.
He was not concerned. That's the wrong word. He was waiting to see what would happen if she did win. Because if you remember the first time she won, she howled, which I thought was interesting.
No, she howled last night, but she did her little that thing that I used to play a lot on the show. Yeah. She howled last night.
Yes, yes,
Rob
yes,
sent me the night. Howl.
I thought you might enjoy it.
I didn't put it in my machine. Look, first of all, I understand it's probably not necessarily, and who knows about their personal life.
It's Joel Coen, Mike. It's Joel
Coen. That guy might Joel be on Quizzles for all we know.
Probably not a walk in the garden, you know.
For her either.
Living with that woman who Carla... she has never been on camera at an award show where Carla says, she's weird.
She's a and fantastic actress.
She's a brilliant actress.
Yes.
I love her movies. In fact, Frances McDormand falls into the category where I will watch anything she's in because she has that screen presence. Mm-hmm. But when you see her at an award show, you say to yourself, you know, what's going on here?
What struck me as just a little off was the way that the wonderful young lady who didn't really speak the best of English said, and here's front, like she said, like Frun instead of like Fran, right? She walks up to the mic. This is the
Fern.
First Oscar. Fern.
She introduced her as Fern, which was her character in Nomadland.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then she got up and she said, it's Fran.
Yeah. Instead of saying,
she could have called herself Frances.
She could have been so sweet. She goes, there was a way to pivot out of that. Instead of, it's Fran, where I'm like, whoa, hey, let's be classy about this.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
You know?
The whole thing
wasn't a real award ceremony, so you don't really have to be classy, I guess. Maybe
All right, so in the live program that I watched, there was a moment. And there was a moment where I just said, hey, we got a real moment. And we'll have a recap in the homepage that with the winners, but very brief, super brief. I wrote her name down. For the homepage and
which act, which award?
The Ya Jung Yoon, or Yoo Jung Yoon, or Yoo Young Yoon, Yoo Jung Yoon, who was the elderly woman in Minari, who carried the movie Minari. I saw Minari, and she was brilliant. And she, through all of her broken English, was absolutely charming and did charm. You know, talking about Brad Pitt. She was great. And she's great in the movie. She's the best part of the movie as the bad grandma, which is a great role anyway, but she really plays it beautifully. Other than that, this is the point I wanted to make about it. Okay.
I miss Frankie.
Welcome back. Welcome back. That's my wife coming back from exercising. Hi, hon. You what? What do you mean you made some progress? We're on the air, you know. What are you going to talk about? What? Oh. Okay. All right.
I just have to say I'm so excited because
Hi, Carla.
Nice tan, Rob.
Thank you. Chocolatey brown as always.
Welcome back.
Beautiful. Loved your state.
Right? Are you busting his balls by saying nice tan?
He doesn't look tan, does he?
He has a little he has a white boy tan.
Oh, okay.
Well, that turned bad awfully fast, didn't it?
All right, what did you interrupt the show for?
Okay, so I ran 4 miles straight without stopping.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. And yet you still came back home.
Well done. And you're not winded. Look at you.
Yeah, I feel great.
Thank you.
When are you going to start coming out with me?
Soon, especially with recent events. I think I need to get in shape.
We heard.
Yeah.
I told not him publicly.
The show. Pre-show. I didn't tell him publicly. I told him.
I saw it on the Reddit thread.
Yeah.
Listen, it happens.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Or actually, it doesn't.
Pretty obvious what happened. Where the hell was I? Okay. So the last thing I wanted to say about the Oscars telecast. These people that are the behind-the-scenes folks, all right, have your S together just a little bit. Just a little. I know you're nervous and stuff, but if you're nervous, shut up. If you're nervous, just say three words and say thank you. Yep. I guess they were encouraged, Rob,
they were encouraged to speak longer because what they did is they almost entirely eliminated movie clips for when they were doing the nominations, and they replaced it, which is stupid.
So stupid.
What they need to do, and I watched it with Julia last night, I said they need to do what the Grammys did like 5 or 6 years ago, whenever it was, when they reinvented it. Just do the awards that people care about.
Yep.
Include some entertainment. The one, right. I mean, no jokes up front at all. I mean, at least give us a laugh up front. They did the Name That Tune segment.
Did they go hostless again?
Yes, hostless. Yes. It was hostless.
They have sucked all the entertainment out of an award show. It's simply an industry function that nobody cares about. That's why they're dying.
And they did a sort of like a Name That Tune game in the middle with a totally manufactured Glenn Close moment where she sang and did Da Butt. But it was so poorly executed that their perfectly planned YouTube viral moment didn't grab because it was that bad. And I stayed with it, and I told Mike before the show, I didn't start watching until almost an hour into it, so I had plenty of fast forward built up on my DVR, saved me some time, and that only lasted me about 90 minutes. That's how much fluff and garbage was up front. I did stay with it until the In Memoriam reel, which is always a highlight for me. And
your love of death.
My love of death. It was the world's fastest paced death reel ever.
Because they have now chosen to go deep behind the scenes and circle their way into the death reel as well.
Yep.
Which means nothing to the public. Look, they've removed the public from the equation. They've made it industry because they don't care. And they think that's what they should be doing. The people that are in charge of the Academy are daft when it comes to this because you have removed. Look, I think that what we want to see as Americans, we want to see the movies that and the movie stars that we know and love. That's what it's about.
That's it.
Then you want to see a host come out and bust their balls because they're rich and famous and everybody's jealous and everybody wants to be
them. Somebody needs to get grilled.
Yeah. And then you want to see clips of the movies. Like you want to see a great clip. That's who you want to say, that looks like a good movie because I might go see it. There's none of that. By the way, there's no information about movies. I'm a documentary film buff. I love watching a good documentary. There's no information on where I'm going to see this. All I basically know is during my scanning, a lot of these documentaries I don't see, including some that look like they may be really, really special. So the whole thing, it's just lacking. It's an exercise in nothingness now. And I trust they're going to see their ratings go down once again.
Oh, I think it's going to be a horrendous rating this year. I really do.
And look, COVID, I understand, but at the same time, if you're going to hype the fact that now it's going to be special and it's going to be new and it's going to be this, I just don't get it. I guess there were some people in another theater somewhere. Was that overseas?
There was people were everywhere. And I think that there was one theater in England where there was some people. But to me, when they would cut to people, what it looked like is no one showed up because they'd show two people in tuxedos in a big theater surrounded by red velvet seats. That's not special. The one thing we're not taking into account is the lower rung of the intellectual ladder. That when America is told this was a very special Oscars, they're going to buy it. And they're going to come away from thinking, but know this, that is not a special Oscar. What that was a punt. It was a fumble. It was horrible.
Oh, it was terrible. And they did a better job when it was completely virtual. They really did. Much better job. Yeah.
I guess I was asking myself the same question. I watched this, and I watched the entire show in its entirety with my wife and my mom. My mom, for a second, didn't believe it. She thought it was a pre-show and then the Emmys, and not because she's older, because she's so used to the, what is it,
the glamour, the grandiose
open and the big theater, the Kodak theater. She didn't.
Does your mom consume a lot of film at home?
No, she likes yelling at the TV. and talking about what people are wearing, men and women.
She hasn't been to the theater, Mike, since Canton Floss passed.
But you know, most of these movies, like The Father, which I was delighted to see Anthony Hopkins.
And she writes the movies down, and she says, are they on Netflix? So, because that's the only thing she knows to go to, which is fine. She can watch it.
That's most of us, though, when we're not going to the theater. Why not?
Definitely, right? Most people didn't see all the movies. Mm-hmm. My thought was that if you couldn't pull off this in-person dinner theater style on camera, because it's hard to feel that awkwardness or surprise side that you would find in dinner theater through the lens. You don't feel that intimacy. You don't. Right. You look like it's like, they've scaled this down. Half of these people, as Mike said, don't look like they want to be there, or they don't want to laugh, or they're uncomfortable, whatever it may be. And then the other half seemed to be like, well, I was nominated, so I had to be here. Hope I win. My feeling was I'd rather what they would have got if they would have gone like complete DJ hack job where they had one guy in a central or a girl in a central area, and then like Rick D's, they would have like a van driving to the winner's house or location. You didn't know whose house they were going to show up at. And then,
they just know in advance. They know in advance. And they've got a secret and they can knock on the door and go, hey, like, how you doing?
Hi, this is Rick D's. I'm in Wales going to Anthony Hopkins' house.
That would have been fun.
I mean, by the way, if that's his backyard, I mean, movie stars do have a lot of land. Anthony Hopkins looked like, I'm at my home in Wales and his backdrop was the entire country. You know, I can see Russia from my house. He was really back there. That way, I like the idea of like Publisher's Clearinghouse is what you're looking for.
Go get out completely where they knock on the door.
Hi, this is Rick Dees at the house of Joel Cohn and Frances McDormand. Let me knock on the door.
All right, another minutia thing.
Yeah, yes.
The camera angle, there was never a straight on camera angle
on the stage. I noticed this.
It was always like they didn't have room to put the camera there. And then when you brought in like Reese Witherspoon, they're hiding her all over. Did you see when they introduced Reese Witherspoon and she's down like behind a banquette?
Mm-hmm.
And you see everybody in the audience going, where the hell is she? Yeah. The whole thing was just...
Well, it's what happens when you shoot in a train station.
It's a train station. And a couple of times they're doing this one camera shot for all the nominees. And he's got to swivel to the left, swivel to the right, swivel over here. Those guys were working there. I have no idea who is responsible for this, but it was it was another damaging blow to award shows. There was a formula for a while. You brought out the the talk show person of the day to tell some jokes.
Solid jokes, glamour, 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 glamour,
and then it became every teeny tiny award. No, you do that on your own.
Yeah,
you bring them down to the train station. And then you have just the celebrities come into a room so we can, that's all we want to see.
We gave 15 awards away last night, and here's who they are. Bum, 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 bum. And that's
how
you
do it. Well, you don't even have to, don't even mention it.
Roll across.
Congratulations to all our behind the scenes
winners. But even
the,
I know this is hack, but what if they just made a fake pneumatic tube, like at the bank, and then the person announcing throws it in the tube and it shows up in the person, and the person's home shooting out.
But in a hack way, where it's just like, you'll see Frances McDormand go, look what I got. Look what I got here.
Yes.
I don't even, we've given it too much time already that we're talking about, but I have to just say, there was a time where it was kind of fun.
Yes.
Especially for people that do what we do, to talk about award shows and have moments with celebrities. I say two things. Go back to some of the old standards, bringing a funny person out, just having the celebrities, and then ply them not just with alcohol, but with any drug that
hard
they
drugs, Mike. Hard street drugs.
Like,
drugs.
Absolutely. You know, a little Molly, that might be something that might be fun for them, and maybe some acid if they're so inclined. You'd have to find out the most
important drugs in Wales for Sir Tony Hopkins.
You know when the award shows died? Okay, he's a recluse now, Jack.
You're
Jack
right.
Nicholson.
I had that thought last night.
Not coming out anymore because he's too old. It's sad. It's sad, but time marches on. And now you got, best editing in a short animated foreign film from, and by the way, when they read the nominees that are, Malala Manami, Nana Manami, Nana Manami.
Representation, there's nothing wrong with that.
You know what? Diversity's overrated.
And that was our last program.
I'm sure.
But, Mike, you bring up something with Nicholson.
I'm not talking about diversity as far as racial diversity. I'm talking about, other countries. I understand. Have a foreign films night. Do it that way.
Isn't the Hollywood Foreign Press, is that, who's that? Is that the Emmys?
That's the Golden Globes.
That's the Golden Globes, yeah. Right?
I don't know. No,
but Mike, when you bring up Nicholson,
when I say diversity, I probably don't isolate me. Can I get in trouble for that if they?
No, we know you love everybody.
I love everybody. No, my point is, it's just so rampant with categories I don't care about. It truly.
Yeah, and when you say Nicholson too, there was no front row because of the physical distancing, but we don't have any front row celebrities anymore that you can stick at an award show. And Nicholson is the perfect example.
Yep. The big push for the past few years was that there's certain categories that weren't represented on television. And in the world that we all win, I don't know, for whatever reason, look, and I'm coming from a production place. I value all our team members, but if I'm being frank, if in award shows, I'm looking for the actors and directors, and I appreciate
that's
what
I
that.
Want to too. Mm-hmm. That's
fine.
We've always said that. And it seems to me that when you get every one of these minor, and it's not minor. I know what it takes to put on a movie.
Yeah,
it's,
right.
I know what the behind the scenes people. Artists. You have a lot of this going. I'm just talking about if you're going to put a national television event on for the public. The public. What are you trying to do? Educate them? They're not going to remember the people that won.
No.
They're going to remember their favorite actor and their favorite movie.
I have a theory. Maybe they knew that not enough of these A-listers are going to come out because we're in the middle of a pandemic. They said, this year we're going to try that whole let's include everybody that ever won on the show.
Hey, this year let Fritz, the set designer, talk for 10 hours. About what it means to him. And then, but here's the thing, even when it's that, you want to see, even if it's somebody that's a set designer or a lighting designer or a cinematographer, I want to see people have their S together when they get up on stage. So there was one lady that I thought was going to throw up. She was hyperventilating. She was absolutely hyperventilating, but she wouldn't stop talking. So it was,
That played Camilla Parker Bowles. I was happy to see her win early on. And then who's the
She was a directing project, I think, but she also played Camilla in the Crown.
In the Crown.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And then there was another Renee Zellweger looked stunning. Mm-hmm. Stunning.
Now did she presented, right? Presented.
She looked
to me,
great.
Mike. She presented to me.
She presented.
Thank you, Renee.
I don't know. I want everything back to normal. And we're going to delay the homepage because when we come back, I do want to talk about getting back to normal. And it's important what I'm going to say about this because I think if we do this, it's time. The time is now to start. And I'll tell you what I want you to start. This is a favor to me when we come back. So let's take a break. We will do the homepage, and then on the other side of the homepage, as I'm trying to figure out how to organize the show, I'll tell you what I want you to do.
Okay.
We'll have our little news thing coming up, and then more fun and more thrills as you're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. But Oscars, never watching you again, ever, as long as I live, until I talk about it next year. All right, so that's it. We'll be right back, everybody.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to have a good time. And we want to get loaded without being hassled by the man.
We're going to have a party.
Mike O'Mara has no self-control.
It was a long day with many, many alcoholic beverages.
Sure. The bus is out of control.
Oh, the bad place. Yeah. I love when they go there after he says we're never going back.
Where else can you spend $150 in 4 minutes and leave angrily?
You have a serious impulse control problem.
I love food. I have an addiction to food.
Oh, get a grip, Paisan. Now you can take control over how you listen to the Mike O'Mara Show. You can download the show on iTunes, the Google Play Store, Stitcher, and Spotify. Or you can join the boys every day live on the TMOS app or watch it on Facebook Live or streaming on the Mike O'Mara Show YouTube channel. What more can we do for you, eh?
Oh!
Forget about it.
When did Twitch start using Dixie cups to record these promos?
He needs to pull the string tighter. Pull the string tighter, Paulie.
Yeah. I love you, Mark, but Paulie Christine sounded seriously like he was at the bottom of a urinal. Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Liquid IV. It's extremely important to take care of ourselves with the proper vitamins and nutrients. That's why Liquid IV created Hydration Multiplier Plus Immune Support to help your immune system. Add it to a bottle of water and you are set. It's a cutting-edge blend of vitamin C, zinc, and Wellmune in convenient single-serving packets that help strengthen your immune system. Wellmune is a naturally sourced beta-glucan that's proven to help strengthen your immune system. We live on Liquid IV here at TMOS. I saw somebody over the weekend that had a little bit too much evening that was enjoying their Liquid IV. I love it. It makes us feel great. It has awesome tangerine flavor. And we know that with every purchase, Liquid IV donates a serving of Liquid IV to someone in need. They have already donated over 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. The company has donated over 10 million servings globally. Liquid IV is challenging you and changing the world for the better. Get your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier Plus Immune Support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today by using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. We like it. You're going to love it. I love Liquid IV. And really, thanks for your support, Liquid IV. Support them like they support your favorite podcast.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yes, it is. We talked about it the first part of the show at the Oscars last night. Nomadland won Best Picture. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see it. I have. I thought it was a very, very good movie, and I'm not disappointed by that choice. It's a little odd, but it wasn't too bad to see that win.
Felt like it was all over the place.
As far as the movie...
There's nomads. Is that a bad joke, or did I just miss something?
That's a good joke. Now that you mentioned it, it's a joke, I was kind of wondering.
Yeah, we don't usually expect funny stuff from you, so it
kind of wandered.
Fair enough.
There you go. Yeah, it's a great joke, actually. It just needs to be, punched up a little bit. We're punching it up right now.
Can you give me a thumbnail of what the plot of Nomadland is?
It wanders all over.
I thought so, yeah.
Never seems to land in one place. Anthony Hopkins and Frances McDormand won Best Actor and Actress. Tyler Perry called for unity, and Glenn Close shook her backside to debut. And the elderly lady who played the grandma in Minari, Ye Jung Yung, she was adorable and gave us a real honest moment. And that's all that we ever
The Glenn really Close wanted. Butt moment, while fabricated, I was very impressed by her dexterity. Because she could really move.
She wasn't just shaking a butt in the air. Yeah. She was moving the hips.
Yeah.
She looked good doing it. I thought that was interesting.
And Mike, I want to add what Oscar was referencing earlier. Her name is Emerald Fennell, who played Camilla in The Crown, and she won Best Original Screenplay, I believe.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for The Crown?
No, for another movie.
The Crown's a TV series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, whatever. Thank you. Justin Bieber performed for inmates at the California State Prison in L.A. last month. I get GQ every month, and there's a profile that I'm just at the beginning of reading about Justin Bieber and how he has kind of turned himself around.
See, Maddie, he really is a good guy.
I've been telling you all this time.
Yeah, she loves him.
Maddie, I welcome your thoughts on this. It does seem like since his marriage, there's a level of self-awareness that he has that he may not have had before. And when you think about a kid being a child, literally, and then being thrust into this working environment and making tons of bad choices, and every single one of them splashed on the headlines, it's an interesting profile. And as somebody who's poked fun at Justin Bieber for a long time, I find it interesting. As a turbo Justin Bieber fan, how do you like where he is now from where when you were, putting posters on your bedroom wall? What do you think of him?
Well, because the posters phase was right when he came out, right? And then he, got into all that trouble, all the drugs, right. The attitude and everything. And then I kind of stepped away. I mean, I still love him, obviously, but it wasn't like...
Tough love,
exactly. But it is really nice to see him maturing and growing because that is hard, right?
Yeah, well, she still loves him.
Yeah,
she
no,
really
I do.
Does.
No, it's I'm like a, I'm proud, right? It's yeah. weird.
Oh, like a proud
That's
fan.
That's cool. Yeah. yeah. If you're a fan That's and cool. you see somebody who seems to be getting their act together, you know, I look, if the guy gets his act together and he's doing good work, goes to a prison and sings for the guys behind bars, that's cool. I like that. So I'm going to put that in with all the ball busting stories. Justin was there to support the prison's faith-based programs. He also sat down with inmates in the prison yard, listening to speakers who were spreading the gospel. And Justin did sing three other songs during his performance, as well as Lonely. Kind of an interesting choice to sing in a prison. But there's no word on what the other songs were.
One was Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. One was MacArthur Park. And the other was, There Was a Farmer. There Was a Farmer Had a Dog, and Bingo Was His Name. Oh.
Thank you, Justin. We appreciate that. All right. I saw a picture of this guy last Thursday. Zac Efron appeared on the online special Earth Day, the musical. He didn't look like himself. It was weird.
Yeah.
Now he's put on some muscle. That might have something to do with it, but his face, it took on a slightly different shape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people compared him to Handsome Squidward from SpongeBob. People are speculating the plastic surgery or maybe Botox and other fillers. Why would he have been? Isn't Zac Efron like 28 or something like that?
And dreamy.
In fairness,
he is dreamy.
He's coming out of, like, he made it public that he had an addiction issue, right? So then he gained some weight, and then maybe he bulked up.
Like, what was his addiction to? I can't
remember. It had to be weed.
Weed?
Cocaine.
Coke? Oh, blow.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, then he should be skinny.
One of the substances he was addicted to.
Yeah.
And look, at that bright light of fame, it'll burn you both ways. I mean, I gained 20 pounds. Everyone's calling me Chunky Monkey. And I'm nobody.
Mm. Hey, you know, Rob and I have solved that problem. Just stay fat.
Yes. But to be fair, Oscar's face has stayed the same looking. It's just right. bigger.
Rob is fat and accepts it. I am fat, and I still have not accepted
it.
Like
fighting the good fight. You keep fighting, Mike. You keep fighting.
That picture, by the way, that picture on the airboat, Rob, that first one where you're sitting there, that was extremely flattering.
Whoever took that shot is not a friend, my
that
friend.
That would be Captain Mike took that spot.
Yeah. Could give you a nice angle or something.
What do you do? You know what? You can complain what you do. People complain about the weather, but no one does anything about it. So everybody, go F yourself. What's next, Mike?
Meeting new people.
You know, who needs enemies when you have friends like us?
True. Tell me about it.
Meeting new people and hanging with strangers isn't something most people have done for a while. In case you forgot, it can be awkward. So here are some tips on how to talk to someone when it seems like you have nothing in common.
Okay.
Pony boy, are you listening? This is for you. Number one, assume they're interesting. Most people are interesting once they open up, so be curious and give them a chance. I'm with that. I probably have a better time at a party if I did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
always
talking
thinking
to
about
strangers.
What I'm going to say. What's that?
I like talking to strangers when we could pre-pandemic, and then it's painful when they walk away.
Yeah.
You know, oh, well, they've had enough of me.
They don't want any small talk.
Now, when I'm at a party, unlike on this show, I try to be a good listener. I actually do. Most people love talking about themselves, so be ready to ask questions, which is also a good tip on dates. I, because of what I do for a living, sometimes have to tap myself on the inner government and say, you know, shut up for a sec. Mm-hmm. Listen, listen, listen. And sometimes it's fascinating. If they do something that's unusual, I love listening to them.
But, Mike, really, if you know, we all know this cue, especially if you're in broadcasting. If you know that it's dead air Dan that you're talking to, you just got to flap those gums to fill the time.
And that sucks.
Yeah, there's nothing more awkward than silence. You hate it.
Yeah. Well, when we do what we do for a living, we're good at it, and that kind of sucks as well. Yeah. Be willing to share and get personal. If you're vulnerable with someone and open up, they'll open up too. Come prepared. You can even use a cheat sheet if you need to. No, I disagree with that one. But,
don't show weakness.
Hold on a second. Let me check this before we continue talking.
All right. Let me see. Hold on. A little foggy this morning. Anyway, I don't buy into that. No,
I mean, you can be self-deprecating in a fun way, but
yeah,
like, come on, no one wants to hear hang out with a black cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think if you here's I'm gonna throw this away and give you mine. I think that because they're down here, they say, what do you do for work? No, not what you do for work. Ask a specific question. You know, if you know what they do. I had a meeting with a person that was a stranger, and I got specific about where they do. It was a doctor, mm-hmm. and I knew he was from New England. I wanted to ask him what hospital, and he was mm-hmm. from the one where your brother works.
Brigham?
And,
Women's?
At Brigham. Brigham and Women's.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Recently retired guy. All right, so anyway, loosen up, but don't bring notes.
I think if you bring notes, the secret is to get them to talk about themselves. That's how you mm-hmm. get them to open up, and that's how you make them feel valued, I think.
We're just waiting right now, and that'll be a later segment where you know, we need to get where we need to get mm-hmm. before we can start getting mm-hmm. normal again. Home COVID test, speaking of the devil, has they finally started hitting stores like Walmart and CVS. The kits cost $24, and you can use them to give yourself a test at home. This is wonderful. And get the results that same day without having to send the test out for processing. It's like a pregnancy test.
Oh. You pee on a
That's
stick?
Fantastic. How does that work?
Let me tell you. Yeah. These have been around for, let me say, a year and a half, and finally, they've been approved to work at home. You could literally take one every day. At a decent price point, instead of, we've done this at Podcast Village, we give tests and pay for them at the studio, and they're $120 a pop.
Yeah. Here's a question I have about that. The rapid COVID tests.
Yes.
I've always been told you spend all this money for them, and they're not reliable. Is that true or not true? And are these more reliable than the ones that... You pay $350
from my understanding like that. Is that the ones that are more expensive, like the ones we got, were the PCR tests. So you'll get that information back within 48 hours. The rapid test, the little strips you're talking about, like the pregnancy strips, that change color, they have a little more error built into, but that doesn't mean, I guess a doctor told me once, even with the margin of error, it's better than nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, so the new ones, are they nasal swabs? I was kidding about it being a pee test.
No, it's good. It's a strip.
It's a strip you put in your ass.
And how long does it stay there?
All day.
And then?
But as soon as you remove it, if it's the right color.
Oh, I think I know
they're
already.
Still working on the hue.
Mike, I don't need a chart to tell you.
What has Brown done for you?
Says and here now, I tested positive for UPS.
And now a little something, something. There is a 39-year-old guy. His name is Takashi Miyagawa. Takashi Miyagawa in Osaka, Japan. He managed to get into relationships with 35 different women at the same time by selling shower products door to door for a multi-level marketing pyramid scheme. So why did he have so many girlfriends? Well, it seems like he wasn't in it for the sex or emotional companionship, or even out of some deep insecurity about his own handsomeness and charm. He was just in it for the gifts.
Oh.
Because he would tell each of his girlfriends that his birthday was on a different date, so that they'd buy him a steady flow of gifts. His scam blew up in February when a few of his girlfriends found out about each other, and then they started tracking down more women who thought they were in a relationship with this guy, and his scam wasn't even that lucrative. For all the work he put in, which included keeping track of the women and the lies he told them on an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, that's great!
He only took down around $1,400 in gifts, which is spectacular. He's now facing a bunch of fraud charges, but the good news is he has a ton of cologne. Like more cologne than any man could ever need.
An MLM, I know some people try to clarify, it also could be a pyramid scheme. So he literally was trying to get to the top of that pyramid every single time.
Yeah. He's in jail now. We'll be right back.
Drainage. Eli, you boy. Here, if you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, and my straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up. Did you think your song and dance and your superstition would help you, Eli? The only thing that will help you is the TMOA Shopping Center. Access them at MichaelMaraShow.com. Be part of the solution. They have milkshakes, Eli, and straws. And Eli, if you go to the medical section, there will be blood. I shop it up.
All right. I'm tired of that one. Let's just play it again. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. The sweet mysteries of life. Do aliens wonder if we exist? Is the rhythm really going to get you? Is Casper the friendly ghost really just a dead Richie Rich? When you need a break from contemplating the really big questions, it's time to take on something that's meant to be solved, like the literally thousands of puzzle-solving levels on Best Fiends. And unlike mulling over the mysteries of the universe, Best Fiends leaves your brain feeling refreshingly challenged. You'll feel like your frontal lobe just got a Swedish massage. Nice.
Nice.
The only downside is you can't stop playing. Variety, strategy, cute characters, and endless puzzles to solve. Best Fiends is Rob's jam, man.
Oscar, it's my jam. I'm at level 2822. It is called No Fishing Allowed. Mike, don't fear. You're still battling slugs. But now, there are baby chicks involved.
Mm.
You gotta get them, baby. Mm. Gotta get them.
Do you kill the chick?
You capture the chicks. You don't kill them. Nobody dies.
If you're
too cute. Too cute.
Thank you. If you're hungry for an endless supply of fun, puzzles, the kind you can actually enjoy solving, try out Best Fiends. Just don't blame us if you can't turn it off.
Yeah.
Download the best 5-star rated puzzle game in the world, Best Fiends, free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. You're going to love it. All right, just a few words about where we are right now. I've gotten
as a country?
Back. I've come where we are in the country. I've gotten back to doing what I did in the early days of the pandemic, especially right around the time I went up to Maine when I was checking the daily COVID cases down here in the Sunshine State. Because I believe what I'm hearing that we are potentially able to get this thing knocked out if we just stop being so ridiculously stupid. And I think we are, I put a post during the breakout that was to the effect of, you know, you might want to strangle somebody who's one of these people that's choosing, I'm not going to call them anti-vaxxers. I'm going to say people that are choosing for whatever reason not to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
There are people that just can't get out of their own head about this. There are people that think, they're fine, so they really don't need to do anything. They don't understand the public health ramifications where if we can still continue, I love the stories that this vaccine is getting easier and easier to access for people over the age of 18.
Supplies are up.
My wife is getting her second Moderna shot today. I think it's fantastic. But I'm not telling you to go out and get in conflicts with people, but I think we have to, as people that care about public health, mention to these other people in as nice a way, if you feel like you can, to nudge them and say, please do that. It would really, really be helpful. My wife's place of employment, where she rents a room down there, the lady on one other side of the building, a non-vaxxer, a non-masker, is still quarantined at home and still suffering the after effects from her bout with COVID.
Mm.
One of the people that came into that side of the business is dead.
Mm.
This is still a thing. People are dying every day. We can get rid of it. Every story that comes out that's optimistic, it's astonishing. When you look at a country like India, you realize we can eradicate this.
And
no,
if you can appeal to people's egos, and maybe the best takeaway is to say, look, at the very least, don't do this for anybody else but yourself, because you don't know if you are within the percentile of Americans that are going to suffer from long COVID.
Yep.
Which completely alters your quality of life. It doesn't matter how young you are, or if you're a marathon runner, or if you're a standout athlete, or you're in perfect shape. If it gets you in that manner, it gets you.
Yeah, and I think it's important for everybody to do it whatever way they can. I don't know if you guys have bumped into the number of I've toe-to-toed with people that are anti-vaxxers. And I hate using that term, that are people that have chosen not to get vaccinated. I've gotten, I had a guy say to me that he went into a COVID soup on St. Patrick's Day when he went to a crowded bar, and he never even got, in 4 years, he's never even gotten the flu. This is a person that can't intellectualize the idea that it's not about him in any way. It, you know, do you feel good when you've gotten vaccinated? I can tell you that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel good when a loved one gets vaccinated? Yes, you do. That's it. But ultimately, you're not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for everybody else. And any way, any strategy, I don't have them, by the way, that you can do to mention that. I spoke up. Did I get into it with the guy? Yeah. Will he get vaccinated? Probably not. But I mean, I brought it up, and maybe there's somebody that I can motivate that way.
It's brutal on many levels, because even some of the smartest people that I know are on the fence. And like, if you're not within the work environment, then we can have easy conversation and say, like, you know, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on this, or what the questions may be. And then the Johnson & Johnson situation and AstraZeneca on the other side of the pond, like those cases, those situations don't necessarily help. But if that's your firewall or your hurdle to say, well, then you could, I would say, make sure you get the Moderna or Pfizer one. That'll make you feel better. Mm-hmm. But get something.
Yeah, and there's also, I saw today, a running trend and a rising trend of people that are getting either Pfizer or Moderna and then hesitating to get the second shot. Because they hear
that there might be a reaction.
Right, and I'm here to tell you, folks.
I've met people that have gotten, I'll tell you, the vast majority of people down here in our world, the senior citizens, are running to get the vaccine.
Of course.
The old people you're around, are they all vaxxed? All the people that, your dad vaxxed?
Yeah. I've been vaxxed for a week. My mom, too, early on.
Shannon got her second. The reason why we really couldn't go anywhere is because Shannon got her second shot this past week. And when we were off, and she tried to ruin our vacation. She did. By making it all about her. Yeah, no.
By having a headache?
I'm curious.
What did she do?
No, she didn't do anything wrong. I'm just being a terrible husband. But I looked over at the couch and she's out, passed out. And look, for her, she felt a little crummy for one day after the fact. For my mom, had nothing. Right. Nothing happened to her after the shot.
I had my second shot 2 weeks ago today, and the day after, I savored that headache because I knew that was because of us. Yes, it was working. Mm-hmm. I savored it. The sore arm, I loved my sore arm because that's meaning that I'm part of the solution. And that really is, you got to look at it that way.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
Small inconvenience.
It is to be part of the solution that's going to literally save the world.
Who doesn't want a day off of work?
Yeah, so please do it if you can. Rob, you came down to the Florida area, and I'm curious that coming from Virginia down to Florida, first time you've been out of the state, first person on our show really traveling, like really getting on an airplane and traveling. What was your reaction when you got to Miami and you were able to look around and see how different is our state? Is it a big difference when you come down? A lot of people say it is.
Miami was not that different. I saw masks all over the place. I saw a couple under the nose masks in the airport, not many.
But the airport and stuff outside as far as out and about.
Out and about in Miami, didn't go out that much, but I saw masking, I would say, consistent with the D.C., Virginia area in Miami. However, when we went out to what was called Dade's Corners, and there is a pilot station there where we stopped, and they had everything. There were not a lot of masks there. When we got out of the city, because that's where we had to go to the Everglades, and it was... It looked a little bit like the Wild West there as far as masks go.
I want to blame the uneducated, but there are so many educated people I know that sit here and they I'm just going to wait for version 2.0 of the vaccine. Mm-hmm. I said,
well, that's a lot of people said that to me where they said, I'm going to see how it goes. It's not about that. You know, yeah, okay. if you know, the joke that makes me almost laugh is when people tell you about the "this is a big conspiracy" by Emperor Ming.
Yeah,
that you know, 1 month after we all get the vaccine, we're all going to be like, "I can't breathe."
Well, Mike, it started like with 5G. That was the first step.
I would love 5G. For God's sakes, put it up in the middle of my living room. I'll take it all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. I just urge everybody to do that.
Please.
And see. Well, Oscar, what do you know about the finish line of this thing? I mean, where are we with this? Do we have a chance to get I mean, are we? Because
the reports are not positive. The reports are not hopeless. As last, just yesterday, a great report came out saying, you know, we've made headway, but the Johnson & Johnson news, as I mentioned earlier, has given those who were not sure about the vaccine another reason not to get it for whatever reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's additional hesitation. And then the people aren't getting the second shot for if they're not organized, they don't get remembered, their hands not being held, or they're not going for whatever reason. And like there are, as we continue to wait, there continue to be variants that are mutating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
We don't know what it's going to look like.
We got to keep fighting.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I so want this to, you know, to happen. When you're talking about fall, that maybe sporting events are going to come back in the fall, mm-hmm. you know, and there's the old lucky NFL again. You know, that's the way it always works with the NFL. And I'm really,
NFL might be the third ingredient. It's 5G, the vaccine, and the NFL. Those are the ones that are controlling everything.
Absolutely. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have vacation recaps. One person went to Miami, went to the Everglades. Another person went down to the Eastern Shore for a romantic getaway with his wife. Who had the better time? I didn't do dick. So that's all there is to it.
Nice.
I got nothing to talk about. Sorry. We'll be right back, everybody.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Probably have a couple beers.
TMOS.
2, 3, 4.
A full-bodied podcast.
Sometimes wine.
With earthy tones of pop culture and a bouquet of comedy, wit, and sarcasm.
Do you drink every night, Pony?
Yeah, I'll have a martini about 5 o'clock.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Sometimes 3, 4, 6 beers.
A drinking show.
4 or 5 drinks.
With a radio problem.
How am I alive?
Watch the live feed weekdays at MikeO'MaraShow.com or download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This is a truly great time around most of the country to enjoy a product we've been telling you about for a while. I'm talking about Solo Stove. Life's best moments happen around a roaring fire and smokeless fire pit. The Solo Stove fire pits make your fireside time even more memorable. It's such a great product, and it's such a great time in that little spring, winter
weather's
transition
perfect.
Time.
Perfect for it.
Really great to do it. Down here, already summer down here in Florida, but we can still enjoy a nice crisp evening with a Solo Stove. Instead of constantly dodging campfire fumes, you can sit back, relax, and actually enjoy the fire with your Solo Stove. And now, Solo Stove is offering a free fire pit stand with the purchase of any smokeless fire pit during their spring sale. Yes, Mr. Spiewak?
This is so great because this ring allows you to set your fire pit on something that you wouldn't normally be able to put a fire pit on. Like, grass won't get singed because it makes cool air
great. Go
under it. You can put it on a laminate deck even. I've done this, and it doesn't melt your deck. This is a great premium, so you got to act now.
I like putting mine on the bed.
Yes, of course.
No, I'm kidding. I'm making a joke. I'm sorry.
Open a window. If
funny.
You do that.
No, I know. You want to do it. I'm sorry. It's not
Mike,
funny. It's a little
stop
joke.
It.
You can make the most of the season and get the most out of your new smokeless fire pit. It is a win-win. Order now. You go from unboxing your Solo Stove to fireside fun.
How easy is
moments.
Setup? The setup is so great when you
unbox it. Well, it's made. It's
you just
done.
Take it out
it's there.
And
you
it's shiny
it out,
and boom.
Put it together. It regulates airflow. It burns more efficiently. So little smoke, you wonder why there's so much fire. Easy to keep lit. Even easier to clean. They're so confident you'll love it. They offer a lifetime warranty and 30-day free return policy. Make this spring one to remember with a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove and get a free stand with any purchase of a fire pit. Just use our promo code Mike. It's not TMOS. It's Mike, M-I-K-E. That happens to be my first name.
Yes.
Use that at checkout. That's solostove.com, promo code Mike. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so yeah, it was a staycation for me. You boys got a little, you know, got a little vacation time. Rob, I'll start with you. You mentioned the Everglades that you went down there, and other than that, you said you didn't go out much.
We didn't. We're getting stuff together for my Uncle Bruce's, I guess, estate, which is a grand word for his condo. We got to. We did have a sort of secret operation that was. I've done this act before, and it's never enjoyable, but this had a good angle to it, is Bruce wanted his ashes put in the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
And the according to the mortician, the law is you need to be 20 miles offshore to do this. And we said, well, that's a whole day. Let's just go to the beach. So
that's a big trip out there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Jeez, so I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So that's how it is in Florida. So when my dad picked me up at the airport, he said, getting there, and he said, you got enough room back there? I said, I'm the only one back here. He says, no, Bruce is back there. So what had happened is when they got everything resolved at the funeral home, they put Bruce in a special travel box.
Right.
And a bag that has...
I've been there.
And
I know
it says,
what
like,
about.
You know, Sunny Miami Funeral Home or whatever. And he's sitting in the back seat with me. And while it is just ashes, it was a little off-putting, stepping off a plane and knowing that your uncle is next to you in a bag. So we go and we figure out the best day to do this is probably Thursday. I was down there from Tuesday to Saturday. And the weather looked okay. And so we get ready for our beach trip. So we get three chairs and some bottled water and some, you know, towels. And we head out to Miami Beach. And it's beautiful. It's
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you found out about what the funeral home said.
Yes.
And obviously your dad passed this along to you.
Exactly.
Did you guys have a strategy going in?
Sort of. But what my dad said to the mortician was, does anyone really go 20 miles off to do it? And there was a pause and the mortician said, be discreet.
Okay.
And then he said, and also know there is a tag in the box. Don't throw the box away at the beach because they'll find it and they'll know. And he said,
Pro tip, and it would get the funeral home in trouble.
Maybe. Exactly. I think he was sort of covering his ass and my dad's ass as well.
Okay.
So before Bruce passed, he mentioned he wanted to be at the beach where there is a lighthouse, a fake lighthouse, he said. So we drove up and down. I guess is it called the A1A? That goes next to the ocean.
Gotcha.
And another thing I learned about Miami, if you want to know where the ocean is, just drive towards the high rises. Because on the road, you can't see the ocean for all the high rises that are there.
Well, there's you've got usually one road that's close, then a secondary road, then a little closer. But like any beach area that's been overdeveloped, which certainly Miami has, your beach views, you're not going to see the beach from the road.
I had never been to a beach that you had to go under a tunnel from the parking lot to get to the beach because the parking lot is actually
it's all beach. I mean, you've got so much down there and little areas vary, you know, South Beach in Miami is, you know,
a little
probably
different.
one of the better differences
bet,
you have
I
down
bet,
there.
Yeah.
So you're on A1A, so you're not down in Miami Beach. You're
I think
on,
it was technically North Miami, but
North
it was
Miami.
The beach was called Hollandale, I think.
Hallandale.
Yeah. And so we found the fake lighthouse, which turns out is not really a lighthouse, but a rest stop. But Bruce liked that hunk of beach. And so it took some detecting. And Kathy's very smart at that. And we get out to the beach and we're in the tunnel. And my dad says, we got everything, right? I said, yep, chairs. Everything. Oh, yeah, we forgot one thing. What? Bruce. Okay. So we go back to the car because we left Bruce in the backseat.
Can I ask this question?
Please.
It's been significantly windy down here. And it always is windy at the beach anyway, but it's been blowing down here for 3 months. It's been blowing down here every day. It's incredible.
Don't read ahead. It was
Big Lebowski's coming to mind.
It was pretty windy, and so we get over and we get set up and we look, and they're socially distanced, but there's enough people on the beach that day that really the only place for us to set up is right in front of the lifeguard stand. Which is not ideal when you're trying to be sneaky. So we sit down, and my dad is a little keyed up. We're all a little keyed up. It's emotional. I know this has been weighing on his shoulders.
It's sad that this restriction exists because so many people, my mom and dad were scattered in the Atlantic Ocean. A lot of people want to be scattered.
My dad's brother, Pete, we scattered him in the ocean and on the island. So it's not an activity that we relish, but—
When you think of the number of kids that pee in the ocean, it's a little
there
sad.
Was,
so
was just an odd sort of feeling about it. I do appreciate the fact that my dad held off until I could get down there to be a part of it because it is really sort of anticlimactic. There's no ceremony or anything. So we get down there and we look and we figure out the lifeguards are at best disinterested. And it's getting close to 4 o'clock, and I think that's when they're starting to sort of close things down for the supervised beach activities. And they're out, and they're pulling like little flags and markers up, and they've got the they've pulled away the Miami-Dade County four-wheeled vehicle is going away. They're putting it away for the night. He says, "Now's our time. Get the box out." And I get the box out, and I hand it to him, and he opens it. It's like a flip-top black box, about the size of a lunchbox, but it opens on the top. And Pony, you're going to have to bleep this. I apologize. He opens it up and he goes, "Shh."
And I said, "What?" He says,
"It's in a heavy-duty plastic bag and it's zip-tied. We should have looked at this at the condo. We should have planned ahead." I said, "Do you have a knife?" I said, "Why would I have a knife?" He said, "Well, how are we going to get into this?" He said, "I don't want to tear into the bag." He says, "Well,
it's zip tied. Oh, it's zip tied. Yeah. Zip tied.
Zip tied with the little like dog tag with Bruce's death number on it.
Zip tied.
And he says, "Well, we can't like go down to the beach and like rip it open in the water and throw it around." And I said, "Kathy, give me your keys." And so he takes a key and starts like the Shawshank Redemption, working on the zip tie with a key. Kick, 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 kick. And then again.
Yeah, let me describe for people that might not know. This bag, this plastic, is ridiculously heavy duty.
Yeah,
plastic.
It's really heavy duty. It's almost like somewhere between a Ziploc bag and a Tupperware box. It's right. Thick. And so he's working on the zip tie, and then I hear,
"Oh my God!"
Well, it's an emotional moment.
Certainly not drawing any attention to yourselves at this point.
No, and also where we thought we could sort of make it happen because this was a moment when the Russian family was not in the ocean, so we thought we could get down there and dump it because out of courtesy we didn't want to dump.
Bigotry
the
will always come into a Spiewak story.
Oh no, they were very clearly Russian and speaking loud Russian too. Okay, and so. He was working.
"And on my beach, I will splash the ashes whenever the F I please."
So he finally gets through and he says, "I'm going to dump the ashes in the box. It'll be easier to put them in the ocean from the box than the bag." I said, "That's a good plan." So he very delicately puts them in the box. And I say, "They're awfully light. They were almost sand colored." He says, "That's it. If they ask us, we'll tell them it's sand." And I said, "And what? We're making square sand castles down by the ocean?" He said, "If that's your bucket, where's your shovel?"
How far out in the water are you?
We're not to the water yet. We're still probably 20 feet.
You're wrestling with this on the beach.
Yeah, so our backs are to, we thought it best to put our backs to the lifeguard stand. So that they can, and so now we get up and we go down. And he's got the box hidden as best he can, sort of like making a body block between him and the lifeguard stand. And this is bad. We get to the water line. We hadn't gone to the water yet. The sand was particularly soft that day. And we get down to the water line and our feet immediately go down like 6 inches in, like quicksand. Mm-hmm. And he almost goes down and loses Bruce. I luckily catch him because that could have been... Because as it was windy.
Steep drop.
Very deep. And it would have.
On the Atlantic side it is.
The Russian family would have been going. Because of all the wind. But we get down there. The lifeguards are busy closing up the stand. And he goes and he starts to pour. And the wind does take it quite a bit down. Doesn't hit anybody. He ceases. Because he says, it's going to have to be a lower dump. So he goes down to the water. And
how far out into the water are
we? We went probably up to
Waist deep?
No, to our knees. I think to our knees. And then We do it, and Bruce flows away, and it's the moment, you know, and he's like, and it's, you know, God bless you, Bruce. This is what you wanted.
And, yeah, it's a very emotional time.
And go.
After
and,
the, you have the moment of levity, and then you get the
you, and
the
you really do start to realize that, you know, this is what you've done. And you also feel good because it literally was his last wish. This That's is what wonderful. He wanted.
That's what it's all about.
And we did it, and we got back, and we battled the sand, neither of us fell, and put him back, his box back in the bag, and hid the tag, and carried the bag back to the car with the funeral home logo facing in, so it wasn't obviously a funeral home bag. And
I don't think a lot of people are going to give you a hard time.
No, and it's I mean, if need be, what's done cannot be undone. And then we sat on the beach and enjoyed the weather cooling as it does at about 5 o'clock. And shared our memories of Bruce, and it was Aww, very, very sweet.
Last question about this: was the tide coming in or going out when you did that?
Mike, I wish we had
since
checked.
Since you appeared to be maybe 11 inches into the water when you did
I wish I had checked this because there was a news story the next day about a huge pile of ash found on the Hollandale beach. No, we were. It was definitely, though not disrespectful, time was of the essence.
So I get it.
We wanted to make sure that we took care of it. And
there's a haunting in your future.
But so the wind was left to right as opposed to onshore.
Right. It took it. But if the Russians had been in the water, they would have gotten a face full of Bruce.
Well, God rest your soul, Bruce. You did him proud. Yes. That's wonderful. That's
good guy.
He would have laughed probably at it too.
He would have.
The idea that you were going through all of this. And where was your dad's wife during all this?
Kathy had just turned over. She wanted to get some sun on her back. No, to be honest, she was giving us a SPIWAC family moment. I thought it was very sweet.
That's wonderful. Yeah, you did. He would have loved that, and I can picture it. I mean, you described it so well, both up to your ankles. In the sand. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back with the dumpster right after this.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, guess who's here?
Hello, James Tiberius Cerritos.
Jimmy Cerritos.
Let's say you're the undisputed 5-time King of the Wings.
Hey!
But you've left all your favorite stuff back in your rental RV.
Oh, no!
You're not worried because you know you can replace all your treasures by visiting the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. A case of wing sauce.
Put some wing sauce on it.
A Buffalo Bills mini replica football helmet.
Go Bills!
A stack of adult coloring books.
Oh, have you seen my crayons?
Or the latest release from Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy!
Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order it all.
It'll be okay.
Gonna be okay.
Oh, that's wonderful. Welcome back to the show. I wish you could see my lawn down here in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, the combination of working with a Sunday and the rain that we got here last week, it's absolutely gorgeous. It's lush. It's green. Sunday is the reason it looks so good. Mm-hmm. More than just a yard care product. It's a custom lawn care plan with a variety of ways to help you grow a beautiful lawn, control weeds, and remove pests. They take all of the guesswork out and unwanted chemicals so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for everybody. I just went to GetSunday.com, put in my home address, and their free lawn analysis tool took care of the rest in seconds. Sunday explains exactly what you get and why everything. It's waiting at your door when you need it. All I had to do was attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose and spray. 15 minutes. Used to take a whole day to get that kind of stuff right.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 15 minutes for a beautiful lawn. Best of all, the stuff really works. The grass looks better than ever. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSunday.com/TMOS to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. That's $20 off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/TMOS. All right, well, he's back from his mission to South Florida, and we did not get together. If anybody was wondering, we see each other every day.
Yes.
That's the way that we will get together maybe this fall.
I feel if I were crossed. To have made the trip across Alligator Alley and rang your doorbell, your lights might go out like an uncivil Halloween guest.
Right.
My brother.
I would have invited you in, shown you the house, and said good luck.
Good luck.
It would have been wonderful.
It's a long drive back.
Yeah.
It's a very long.
You want to get that before dark. Yeah.
Where he is about 2 hours. Yeah. I just couldn't make it on time. We did not get together. I mean, really. Do you think Rob wants to see my ass on his vacation?
And vice versa. Vice versa. Yeah. There was things
no,
to do.
I would love to see you.
With your family. Like, it's just the whole thing.
I didn't intrude. I would have invited, but I didn't feel like that.
Yeah.
I
knew
you were doing things with the family.
Different type of trip.
But yes, so there's that.
Hold on, Mike really wanted to see you.
Did you?
No, that's he won't true. Say it.
No. It was fine. It was fine.
Did you want the opportunity to decline the offer for him to visit?
No, I actually understood. I've been there. Okay. I've been in his shoes. Gotcha. I know how that works. You know, it would have been forced and awkward.
You know, I'm forced.
And I'm awkward.
All right. While we were on vacation, NASA landed a helicopter on Mars.
Yep.
And you know what? I think it's nice when celebrities are into something and they make a congratulatory video. Arnold did on Twitter. He was very excited that a helicopter landed on Mars.
Hello, my friends at NASA. You know, when I heard about this helicopter ride that you're going to do in on Mars, it was like I was so excited about that immediately I wanted to just scream out and say, get your ass to Mars. And then I realized you're already on Mars. I mean, what the hell am I talking about? So I said to myself, this is really fantastic. We're all celebrating for the first time to have a helicopter take off on Mars. Just. And then I cannot wait for all the footage and all what this looks like and so on. So I think the only thing that I can say since we're dealing with a helicopter is, get to the chopper! Got you on that one, huh?
I love the fact that we learned when we were together a couple weeks ago that Arnold's son revealed that Arnold does Arnold catchphrases around the house.
Why not?
And so now that he's doing them on Twitter, it's almost like, is he kind of losing it or is he just having fun? I think he's just having fun.
You know, when you were down in Florida too, just up the coast, they had another launch.
Yeah.
They launched some people into space. They had another launch for SpaceX. With historic launch.
Oh, that's right.
Non-astronauts there.
Used capsule. They put a new paint of coat of paint on it, and it was good to go. Good to go.
Absolutely. History. It's wonderful in the things, and the launches and stuff.
I will do one about the chopper, and they will laugh.
Get to the chopper. This is funny, huh?
It's funny, huh?
Yeah. You liked it. Arnold, it'll be in my movie.
You know, it's been a while, Mike. It's been a while
since I've done arrogant Arnold.
Yeah, arrogant, cocky Arnold.
So you want me to do that? I'll do the tribute to the NASA, and then I'll go to dinner. All right? Huh? Is that good for you? Sure. There we go. Maybe older, more arrogant Arnold now.
Yes.
Too, you know? So did you scatter the ashes in the sea? Yeah. Okay.
Mike,
that's great. Did you go to dinner afterwards?
I think we will have an arrogant Arnold promo this week because you have inspired me.
What is the? That's a wonderful idea. What is the best thing you ate when you were in Miami?
The best thing I ate, actually, we got some fresh grapefruit at the grocery store that were astounding. Astounding. Okay. I mean, for breakfast and with vodka. Both
you didn't
great.
Get a Cubano while you were down there?
No, Kathy had a sandwich Cubano. I had also an excellent bagel with lox at a place called Bagel Cove.
Well, you got that element and down it was in Miami delicious. Too, you know. There
it
we go.
It was very nice also. The flashback deli. I had the corned beef on rye. It was nice. It was very nice.
Miami, everybody.
And lots of, I think I said this before, lots of Oscar cars. It's amazing.
The ratio of
mobile homes to $400,000 cars is very, very one-to-one almost.
Lambos. Lots of Lambos in Miami.
Yes, yes. Mike, her name is Joy Chapman, and she just set a Guinness World Record for hitting the lowest note by a female ever sung. It is the C1, which is the lowest C note on a piano. Previously, it was the lowest G note on a piano. But this is Joy Chapman, and I imagine she's lovely.
La, 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 la.
Congratulations.
And by the way, later in the day, she played in the Cocoonville Ladies Golf Group.
good news, guys. She's single.
There we go.
Mike, I don't always have to share good news. Sometimes there's bad news and I got to report it. People been cooking a lot during COVID. You know this, right?
COVID pandemic.
A lot of people been cooking and there's been some shortages.
Okay.
The CEO of McCormick Spices has come out to say, watch out. They're running out of Old Bay.
The hardest things to keep up with have frankly been some of our most popular items.
Oh, sorry. I stepped all over it.
Okay, we'll take it from the front.
The hardest things to keep up with have frankly been some of our most popular items. Old Bay seasoning. Oh my gosh. The demand for Old Bay has just been extraordinary. It's one of those items that we are still struggling with to keep in stock. The demand is just so high for favorites like that.
If you see it, buy it and put it in your cabinet and then you'll have it.
Old Bay. Oh, tomorrow maybe we can talk. After we talk about Oscar's romantic weekend.
Yes.
Which we never got to, but he went away with his
away.
Bride.
He went away.
Everybody would agree he needs to do. Tomorrow, please ask me about the YouTube video where there was an investigative journalism thing about the ice cream makers at McDonald's. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see this.
I'll look it up.
This will fascinate you. I logged 27 minutes with this thing. That's how good it was.
You know what? It's amazing. That's, you spent more time with that than you did with the Academy Awards.
It did. It was fantastic. It was corporate America screwing the man. You won't believe what the deal is with this. Absolutely amazing. They suck. They're out to screw you.
Mike, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Let's close with this. I happened on this, and we've had orchestra fails. We've had opera singer fails. This is a particularly good one. It's not brand new, but it's new to us. So okay. I want to do a shout out to Bridal Path Elementary School and the Bridal Path Orchestra. This is from a Christmas concert. Okay. And it starts out not great, but I think you're going to appreciate the end. Mike, a little Christmas music. Christmas in April. Jingle bells. And coincidentally, it's the music we played as we scattered Bruce's ashes. I love you, Bruce. God bless you. I know you would have loved that. That's the Digital Dumpster. Have a great Monday. Great to be back.
Good to be back with all you guys. And we will be back with another show tomorrow. Thanks for giving us a little time off. We appreciate that. And more fun coming. And by the way, this is the last week of our working with Matty Masiello, and we will be paying tribute to Matty every single day in one way or the other. Maybe. I'm not sure.
You mean Benedict Masiello?
Masiello, yes. Yes. Matty, anything you want to bring to the table, it's your last week to do it on the show, so yeah. No pressure.
Get some more Bieber stories.
Oh, more Bieber stories. Very exciting. Very, very exciting. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now. All you people want is more, 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 more.
She wants a D and she's going to get one.
It ain't over till it's over.
Oh, good for you.